Hi, I'm Russell Harrison, the CEO here at Western Health. Welcome to the COVID catch-ups. These are sessions where I get to catch up with small groups of staff from across Western Health in a slightly different way to normal. We ask some questions, we have some fun, answer some questions, and hopefully just have a good conversation. Welcome, everyone. My name is Russell Harrison. I'm the CEO at Western, and we're doing another COVID catch-up with a group of physiotherapists down at Williamstown. So with us, we've got Tessa.
Hello.
Ursula.
Hi.
And Melanie.
Hi.
Who stepped up to represent their colleagues that can't be here, and they look, you know, relatively relaxed and chilled out, so that's always handy. Ursula's, you know, feeling the pain, so we'll see how we go. So first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you for you all for doing the work that you've been doing. It's pretty unprecedented times, and probably none of us have worked through a pandemic before in our careers, and certainly not one that's had such a major impact on our lives and lifestyles. So firstly, thank you for continuing to come to work and provide care to our patients, because it's clearly really important that we can support our patients and community, and we need staff to do that. So, you know, a huge thank you for coming in. The work that you've been doing, as you've probably seen from the Facebook posts, the media, and just the general outpouring of community support in sort of gifts that have arrived at all the hospitals for staff, has been phenomenal. And the community are doing it really tough, but are, you know, hugely supportive of the work that we're doing. So on their behalf, you know, a huge thank you for continuing to come to work and support our patients. Today really is a bit of fun to have a chat. So I'll throw you some questions. I'll sort of pick you out and we'll see where it goes. If you're feeling really brave, you can ask a few back. Some of your colleagues have, some haven't. It depends, you know, where you want to go. But the first one is a really nice, gentle lead-in, and we'll start with Tessa to do that one. So, you know, COVID's been around for a few, you know, feels like forever now, but probably about 8 weeks or so in reality. So how has that affected how you've done your job, and what opportunities as a rotating grade one physio has that meant for you sort of taking on?
Well, I suppose my work, my day-to-day work has changed dramatically. I am in a leave relieving role. So I was previously traveling across campuses, mm-hmm. like at a different campus each day, and sometimes even one day at two different campuses. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now I've been based at Williamstown. Kind of once things started ramping up, we obviously limited the cross-site travel. So
yeah.
My work's changed a lot. I suppose
it's in a good way or a bad way?
Yeah, good and bad. I think it was really nice having the diversity, but having some continuous work is also nice to, you know, build rapport with patients and things like that. So yeah, have been able to have a bit more presence on the ward and do continuous work with patients and their families, which has been nice, but very different to what I was doing.
What you signed
pre-COVID.
On for.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tessa. And Melanie, yourself?
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest changes is, particularly for colleagues, especially at Sunshine, so working in the community-based rehab team, is just the lack of gym space available at the moment. So normally we're used to patients coming in and seeing them in the centre for a gym-based session, and I guess we've really had to sort of change our delivery and model of care a little bit. So doing a bit more home visits and really trying to use telehealth as best we can now that we don't have that gym space.
Yes. And is the telehealth working? Has that been quite a good sort of thing to use, or is it quite challenging?
I think initially it was quite challenging, but I think with a bit of practice, and I think the more sessions you sort of do, you become a bit more familiar with the right setup, the right camera angle, and the patients seem to like it quite nicely as well.
So yeah. Okay, cool. And Ursula, yourself?
My work, I guess it hasn't changed significantly in the day-to-day delivery of physio, being in inpatients. There's a bit of creative thinking about discharge planning and what supports people have once they go home, thinking about now that there's been a reduction in the amount of community-based rehab that's been provided, how will we get patients to progress once they do go home. Other than that, I think using interpreters has been probably a big difference because we use interpreters a lot, just doing that via Zoom.
Has that been quite challenging? Because I know we've got a fairly diverse community, and you'll see a lot of that through Williamstown. So that sort of lack of on-site interpreters, has that been quite a challenge to give care? Or have you sort of found clever ways to get around that?
In the beginning, it was a bit daunting, actually, just because a lot of our patients here at Williamstown are either hearing impaired or visually impaired. But now we've kind of got the hang of it. I actually think it works really well. So I'm a fan of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Walking with a laptop.
Yeah.
Interpreter on wheels.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a full new laptop. the interpreter always there.
Yeah. I think what else has also changed is our, like, delivery of therapy on the ward. So we used to do a lot of group-based stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's very individualized. We used to really incorporate family members who would be there all day, all night kind of thing into a patient's care and rehab. And that's really changed, obviously, with restricted visiting hours.
Although you can use the Zoom and bring the family in remotely, possibly.
Yeah.
They can join in at home as well. Okay, so, you know, you all sound like you're having some fun. How do you continue to maintain that sort of sense of lightheartedness in, you know, relatively serious situations, but to kind of keep the patients motivated, to keep yourselves motivated? How do you preserve that, you know, day to day? How about you, Ursula? We'll start there.
I think we're actually pretty good as a team. Like, we check in with each other a lot, and we have to, you've got to come to work and have a laugh, otherwise.
Yeah, it's a bit miserable.
So, yeah, we're pretty good at keeping our spirits up, I think. One of the best things being at Williamstown is they're offering free coffee down at the beach for healthcare workers. So shout out to them, because that's been really nice, kind of just walking down there for lunch.
Coffee with scenery.
Yes, definitely, having the beachside view. So that's good, yeah. Yeah.
I think our department's been really good as well, in terms of we've got some departmental things like sending out memes or trivia that we do weekly and stuff like that, which has really kept up everyone's spirits and team morale.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
A little kind of getting to know you quizzes about your staff members and your team pretty much as well. There's little fun facts that you learn about your team members, which is nice.
So who set that up? Is that sort of, you know, the group just said, let's do something like that? Or did the manager or one of the team leaders do that? Or?
One of our OTs set it up, and one of the physios as well. They just came up with the idea. Yeah. And, it's kind of nice to circulate and find out different things about your team members.
And I guess you wouldn't have done that normally in terms of the bigger team, and you say cross-campus tested like yourself, you probably wouldn't have that contact with people. So it's probably been quite nice to get to know people a bit differently.
Yeah, and I feel like we are getting to know each other more, given that we don't have that outside contact with, you know, normally our friends and family. So coming to work is really your main kind of social contact now.
Yeah, and before we started, we were talking about kind of the restrictions are starting to lift. So how are you coping with that, you know, prospect now? I mean, Ursula, you were going for dinner tonight, which is all exciting.
Yes,
but,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, how does that lifting of restrictions impact on how you're feeling? Well, we'll start with you, Ursula, because kind of, you've got a good news story about dinner tonight and seeing the family. So
I'm really looking forward to going to dinner at my mum and dad's place tonight. So it'll be the first time in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is something really positive to look forward to, but I guess at the same time it's a little bit nerve-wracking in the sense that how are we going to negotiate these new...
Yeah, the new normal of kind of social distancing, but still being with family is a bit pretty odd.
Yeah.
And how about yourself, Melanie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm really excited to see my family, my sister I haven't seen for about 2 months now.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to catch up. But I think as well, slightly nerve-wracking, and I guess it's a bit of the unknown as to what may happen, and I guess just kind of being prepared as well. You know, there may be an influx of referrals with more and more people going out and about as well. Mm. So I just think being prepared as well.
Yeah. Okay. Tessa, yourself?
I'm not really quite
going to get to London, so not quite yet. But,
I'm not going to get to London, but I'll see some friends and family. I think it's super exciting. I think it's also nerve-wracking. I suppose there's such uncertainty going into it, and there's a little bit of that going out of it as well. Yeah, I think to start with it felt like that when things were ramping up, it felt like the calm before the storm, and now it feels like, touch wood, that that's well and truly passed, but there is also that little bit of fear in the back of your mind of, what's to come.
It may come. And as you say, the media probably doesn't help with stories about other countries that have sort of restricted a little bit, and then it's kind of blown up. And
yeah, exactly.
So how have you been managing the anxiety, you know, with partners, with families, with loved ones? You haven't seen, you know, sisters in reality, you know, parents. It's all been virtual. How have you managed that yourselves? Has it been challenging to say, you know, look, mum, dad, husband, wife, partner, you know, whatever, I'm going to work and I've got a job to do? And, you know, how's that gone?
Well, in the beginning it was a bit stressful because it was just completely new, and now we've kind of got the hang of it a little bit. I've created a lot of rules.
Physios love rules.
Yeah. So just about, you know, when you come home and clothes straight in the wash and, you know, lots of hand washing and wiping of phones and all those kinds of things. So I think we've kind of got the hang of it now.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's amazed me, that every group of clinicians, yeah, that I've talked to have all said hand washing has really been the key thing that we've all done. And kind of, you know, the health, you expect that anyway, but they said they've even ramped it up higher. So have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I think definitely more wiping down of everything you sort of use, your keyboards, phones when you're handing them to different people. I think we've definitely upped our hand hygiene, and I guess which is a good thing.
Mm. And have you managed, so this sort of anxiety of family members kind of potentially saying, don't go to work, it's dangerous, or, you know.
Yeah, I suppose I live with housemates as well, so there's been a little bit of, I don't know, not that I've felt like I can't do my job, but the, I don't know, their thoughts on me going to work when they're all working from home. I suppose I really value being able to go from work, just in terms of managing, I think I'd go crazy if I was working from home myself.
Yeah.
I think personally I've kept up things that I usually do to keep my mental health well in terms of regularly exercising and things like that, catching up with family over Zoom or phone calls.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, no, we've been going for a little while. You haven't asked me any questions, which is really sad. So you get, you know, you've got the ear of the CEO, so to speak. What's one niggle that you'd like, you know, if you got a magic wand and we could change it, what would be the one thing you'd say, oh, if we could do that differently, it would be great? What would it be? How about Melanie? We'll start with you.
I think perhaps maybe, I guess, really looking at IT resources.
Mm-hmm.
I think we probably noticed we're spending a lot more time at the desks and using webcams and things like that. So having, I guess, available resources, but also, I guess, space to use those resources, like quiet spaces. The offices can get quite busy and loud, and you're kind of switching your mic on and off to kind of block out that background noise. So, yeah, I would say IT resources.
Headphones.
True, headphones. You still kind of have to switch off the microphone, though.
Yeah, it depends on how many people are on that, I guess.
Yeah, but, we could get mics like these as well.
Oh, that would be nice.
Really posh ones.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure we could afford as many as we need. Tessa, how about yourself?
The thing that jumps to mind is probably space. Mm-hmm. I think having, it's obviously been amplified given the current climate we're in, but there's always more space to be had in terms of office areas on the ward, gym spaces as well, things like to make our job easier and to optimise patients' rehab on the ward. It's definitely at Williamstown as well.
Shall we?
I'd agree with the girls. Space and IT are probably the main two issues. So, yeah, we've done pretty well, but a few more wows or iPads would never go astray in a bit more space.
Yeah, because most people actually have kind of said the wows take up too much space. So, you know, iPads or tablets or whatever, laptops and things are better because they're not as bulky or as, you know, difficult to move around.
Yeah.
But, okay. And I guess space is always a challenge wherever we are.
Yeah, true.
Apart from building a new hospital. So the new Footscray one will be pretty cool because that's going to be purpose-built, whereas this one's quite an old hospital that we sit in. Wasn't probably built when they had physios in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. How about kind of, you know, those general kind of senses of how things are progressing around, you know, things that you're doing now that you didn't do before? What's kind of been some of those things that you think, well, if we look back, you know, imagine we've gone forward 6 months. The world has kind of gone a little bit back to business as usual. What would you kind of say we have to keep that thing that we did through the COVID phase, let's call it? Yeah, it was really great. It made our lives different. It was great for patients or us or whatever. What would be a one thing that you would like to keep from this kind of period of time that you think that's really been powerful and has been great?
I think the telehealth aspect of delivery of care, I think this kind of quiet period has kind of really allowed us to kind of review the way we deliver our healthcare, and, you know, it's efficient. It's not going to replace face-to-face contact, obviously, and you sort of have to select which patients it works for. However, it's quite nice, you know, patients can stay at home. That means, you know, they don't have to spend a whole day travelling in for an appointment, particularly some of the older clients as well who are, you know, quite frail and elderly as well.
Yeah.
It's a nice option to have as a bit of an adjunct to your therapy.
Yeah, okay.
to pick something different, I'd say minimising cross-campus travel where possible. Mm. I think during this period everybody's been really adaptable and flexible in and realising that a lot of things can happen via a Zoom meeting. So I think that's a much better use of our resources and time. Mm. And often ends up with the same outcome of a face-to-face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you say, a bit better time than having to jump in a car and slog to Sunshine from here and get back again.
Sit in traffic, yeah, for sure.
There's no traffic here. It's more in London. Ursula, how about yourself? What would you want to keep?
I was going to say that the Zoom meetings are pretty good. Just being at Wheelie, we do travel across to Sunshine for a lot of meetings, and I think just saving time being in the car has been really good.
Yeah. We've used Zoom for a while before. I don't think it's as widely available as it has been now, but it's interesting when you've got a couple of people on Zoom and the rest are in the boardroom kind of like this facing the screens and who gets a word in edgeway. But I guess we're getting past masters at doing that now with everyone on Zoom. So, you know, raise a hand and wave if you want to ask a question kind of time.
Yeah.
Why do you think, Melanie, you mentioned telehealth being, you know, really great for patients and stopping, you know, and efficient. Why do you think it's taken us so long to adapt this in clinical care, you know, community-based rehab? We've all used Skype and FaceTime and other products I'm sure are available for, feels like a long time now. How do you think it's only just crept into clinical practice in the way it has in the last, you know, 7 or 8 weeks?
I guess we've probably used absolutely telephone calls in between sort of face-to-face, and perhaps, you know, there was that thinking behind it that maybe there is more value and I guess maybe bang for buck in face-to-face contacts, and maybe the patients take a little bit more from your sessions if they're actually making the way in and being able to provide that education face-to-face and therapy face-to-face. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I think just, people are fearful of change.
Yeah,
sometimes it takes a pandemic to put things into action.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't get that many of them, thank goodness, but let's hope we can change a bit differently then.
I think also, like, it's also important to remember that some telehealth can't take over everything. Mm. We're a very physical profession.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it definitely has a place ongoing.
And I guess, as you say, it's how you choose it and use it for, you know, patients that may be coming for reviews and things that don't have to travel all that way to get one. But, you know, that power, I guess, is with you guys in terms of defining those criteria and how you use it. We have the technology. It's everywhere. So,
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think screening your patients will definitely help with that, and, yeah, just picking who it works for and who it doesn't.
Mm. Okay, cool. And how about kind of generally that sort of sense of, you know, you've mentioned how you've kept spirits up, you're getting to know team members differently, you're not travelling across site as much as you were. How does that come together to sort of grow that team so that when, you know, as we are now, the restrictions are lifting, visitors will start to come back, the push to go back to normal will exist. How do you reckon you guys and your colleagues will kind of say, we did all this work to change the pathways, let's just not default back? How do you kind of see that coming from your work in the future?
Maybe just having conversations with patients and their families about what they want from their therapy. And I think that patients will be pretty happy to keep going with some aspects of telehealth. So I think just keeping them in the loop, keeping them in the conversation about, you know, why we've changed to this new strategy.
Do you think the professionals will find it harder to adjust or the patients?
I think, like, because we've had to adapt in this situation, like, there hasn't been any other choice but to adapt.
Yeah.
I think we're on board now.
Now's an important stage, and everybody's aware of that at an organisational and departmental level in terms of that now's a good time to keep some of those things going, and that if we make those changes now, they will be beneficial for the future.
Yeah. As I say, the restrictions are lifting, the government is starting to put out a plan about, you know, kids are going back to school, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How do you fit into that timetable, that sort of process, Desiree, about, you know, the department having a conversation about, right, we've got to safeguard this, we've got to set up new pathways for screening patients for, you know, telehealth. How does the department have that conversation, or is it having it now already?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the conversations are already being had. I think that it's also happening with patients in terms of patients and families wanting to get families home. So like fast tracking some discharges where appropriate and things like that. And I hope some of those things will carry on as well, because it's obviously beneficial for all parties.
Much better for patients to be at home than to be in hospital.
I think we've noticed a real shift in attitude, would you say, that patients are wanting to go home sooner, as previously they might have preferred to stay in hospital longer. I think it's been really good. It's been, the staff have just felt that their well-being has been really well supported. So, yeah, I hope that's something that continues post-COVID as well.
Yeah, I guess it's the challenge of the space again that Tessa, we've been able to use spaces differently. But I think if it's important, then it's something that we can look at trying to preserve, because, you know, that's the important bit. How do we offer facilities to staff to support you in the jobs that you're doing? Because they're not easy, and it's still probably not any less busy for you, because you're still treating patients that are still coming in and we're still kind of looking after them. So if there's nothing further, I'll just say a huge thank you again for the great work that you're doing and continue to do, you know, before, during and after COVID, and wish you well and stay safe and happy travels wherever that may take you. So all the very best, ladies, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the COVID Catch-Ups, and please feel free to share any of these episodes with any of your colleagues who you think might be interested.